Did you know Granny McDuff now has a Patreon? You can get all episodes ad-free, games, puzzles, calendars, and more. You can even get discounts off Granny merch. Sign up now on Patreon. Go to GrannyMcDuffEnt.com for more information.
Good evening, children. It's Granny McDuff, ready with a story. So make yourselves comfy, and I'll begin. Once upon a time, there lived three ogres. A mummy ogre, who was called Eloise, a daddy ogre, who was called Eric, and a little ogre, who was called Edward. He was a brave little ogre, as fierce as his father and as kind as his mother. The ogres were very friendly, and in fact, Eric was the mayor of Oogsville, the town they lived in. The ogres were quite civilized. They ate just like humans, which is rare for ogres, and they dressed and had parties and even mingled with the gnomes of Gnomesville who lived not far away. 15 families lived in the town. It was small and they were very close-knit. They considered themselves family, in fact. It was fall now, harvest time, and the ogres were very much looking forward to their fall harvest and Thanksgiving meal, which they had every year in November. Pumpkins were to them the most delicate food. They grew the biggest pumpkins you have ever seen, and each family got one allotted pumpkin every year. The rest would be used for decoration in the centre of town or to trade with the merchants who would come through to sell their goods. Trade was an important part of the ogre's economy. And no pumpkins meant no trade. And it also meant no pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving dinner. The ogres loved their dessert. This year, for a reason unknown to them, no pumpkins grew. Not one. They were simply gone. What would they have for dessert? Thanksgiving meal must have pumpkin pie. It is everyone's favourite. How could we celebrate without it? Eloise asked. All the mothers, including Eloise, were beside themselves.
Well, I suppose we could make a gnome pie, said one.
No, Eloise replied. Remember, we have a no gnome policy.
Well, what should we do? They asked.
Eloise was not sure. That night, she told her family what was happening. There will be no pumpkin pie this year. I'm going to make cake instead, she said. Edward was not having it.
But pumpkin pie is my favourite, and we only get it once a year. Why haven't we had any pumpkins? Where did they go? He asked.
We do not know, his father told him.
But will they come back? Edward asked.
Perhaps next year. For now, we must figure out the harvest so that we might have something to trade when the merchants come, said Eric. Those goblins are tricksters. They will trade nothing if we have nothing to give.
Edward was very upset. So he went to the pumpkin patch himself to see if he could find even one. But there were none. Then something said, "Psst." Edward looked around but saw nothing. "Psst." Edward looked up. It was a tree speaking to him. It leaned down and said, "Do not fret, little ogre. I know how you can find the pumpkins. There is only one who can help you."
"Please tell me
We must have them back for the harvest, and we must have pumpkins for Thanksgiving. It won't be the same without them,
said Edward. It is said that the Oracle of Orange is the only one who knows where they can be found.
The Oracle of Orange?
Edward asked. Yes, replied the tree. You can find him beyond the trees of time, past the reefs of urchin, through the rocks of treachery. There you will find the island of the guava. It is there that the Oracle of Orange lives. But beware, he is heavily guarded, for not all wish him well. Edward was surprised.
How do you know? Why are you telling me?
The little ogre asked. Because it is you, Edward, who can find the oracle, and only you. The rest will follow, but you must lead and bring the pumpkins back, said the tree.
Well, I shall try, but my father will be better suited, surely, for I'm but a small ogre,
Edward said. You and you alone. You are fierce but kind, and you believe in all things great and small. It is you. And when you do return with the pumpkins, you might bring me some pie, for I do love pumpkin pie. The tree opened a small hole in its trunk, and there, inside, was a map. Take it. It will show you the way, the tree said. And with that, the tree went to sleep. Edward took the map and rushed home to tell his parents.
I know of this tree. She is from the beginning of time, when the land was barren. She is wise and all-knowing, but she wakes for not just anyone. Edward, you must listen to her, and we will follow. We will be with you, said his father.
Eric announced to the town what had happened and that he and his wife would follow their son to find the oracle.
We will go with you,
they cried.
We shan't leave you to it. This is for all of us,
others shouted. And so it was. The village of Oogsville packed just enough for the journey and followed Edward. They went into the forest and found the trees of time. How beautiful they were! Just like the tree that had told Edward what to do. They weaved their way through. The trees were very friendly and let them pass.
Good luck!
They told the ogres. Once through, they found they were next to the sea. It was not very deep where they were, and so they were able to walk across.
Ouch!
Cried one ogre. He lifted his foot, and there, stuck to it, was a sea urchin. He pulled it out.
Ah!
The sea urchin cried.
How rude of you to disturb us! Step on us, we will prick you. Avoid us, and we will not stop you. Now be on your way.
All of the ogres took very careful steps from this point on and made it across with no one else stepping on a sea urchin. They crossed the water and soon found themselves at the rocks of treachery. And treacherous they were. The tide was high and the water was rough. The waves crashed against the rocks.
Stay together! Hold hands!
Edward cried. He held on to his mother and father, and they scrambled through the huge rocks. It had only been an hour, but it felt like days before they reached the edge of the rocks, which led to a beach.
The island of Guava,
Edward cried. He looked at the map, and sure enough, he was right. They had made it to the island where the Oracle of Orange lived. Once all the ogres were on the beach, they all dried off a bit, and then they were on their way.
Beware, said the tree to me, Edward told them. Not all wish the oracle well, and so we must be on the lookout for guards.
They climbed up to the top of the hill. From there they could see almost the whole island. Edward looked at the map.
It does not say the oracle's location, he said. But look there, a golden beacon of light. It must be where he is.
And so they headed towards the light. Through the forest they went, up and down hills, until finally they were very, very close.
Be careful, Edward cried.
And so they were. All the ogres were watchful. And suddenly, a pack of one-eyed guava jumped out from behind the rocks.
Stop! Who goes there?
They asked.
It is the ogres of Oogsville. We have come to see the oracle, said Edward.
What about?
The one captain of the one-eyed guava asked.
About the pumpkins. They're nowhere to be found, Edward replied.
If your intentions are true, we will lead you there,
the captain said.
Our intentions are true. You have my word,
Edward assured him.
Then let us lead you.
Down a wooded path they went.
May I ask, good sir, what are you?
Edward inquired.
We are Guavalops, guardians of the Oracle of Orange,
replied the Guavalops captain. And just then, they came to a cove with a large pool of water chiselled out of the rocks. Floating stone steps began on one side and led to the other. Up and up they went until they reached the throne of the Oracle of Orange.
The stones will know if you are true or not. Step upon them with bad intentions and into the water you will go,
said the captain.
Father, what shall we do?
Edward asked.
Go, son, for the tree said that it is you and only you. If you go, we will follow,
Eric said.
And I am always right beside you.
Edward took a deep breath and stepped onto the first stone. It dipped a bit, then stayed steady. Onto the next one he went, and the next, and the next. They moved a bit with the tide, but they knew Edward's intentions were true. Finally, he made it to the top step, and then onto the ledge before the throne of the Oracle of Orange.
Who dares climb my steps?
The oracle boomed. Edward was nervous. He turned around and saw his mother and father were right behind him, as well as the rest of the ogres.
We do, great oracle. The ogres of Oogsville. We come to ask your help. Our pumpkins are gone, missing. They never grew. We need them for our harvest to trade, and also it is Thanksgiving, and we ogres cannot have a Thanksgiving without pumpkin pie,
Edward told the oracle.
No, we cannot,
another ogre shouted,
for it is our favourite.
And what makes you think that I would know where they are, let alone help you find them?
He boomed again.
You are the great oracle of all things orange, are you not?
Edward asked.
I am,
he replied.
Then you're the only one who can help us, said the little ogre.
I am,
he replied.
But let me ask you this. Do you have your friends with you?
Edward turned. All of his friends and their parents were there.
"Yes, Oracle, I do," he said.
"And do you have your family with you?"
asked the Oracle. Edward looked at his parents and then at all the ogres of Oogsville.
"Yes, Oracle, I do," he answered.
"Then why can you not have Thanksgiving? For isn't Thanksgiving about being with family and friends and celebrating one another?"
"Yes, you are right, Oracle, it is. But we ogres need our pumpkins," said Edward.
"Of that I have no doubt. But it is quite a feat that all of you came here together as a family. Let us be thankful, and you shall have your pumpkins," he said.
"Thank you, Oracle. We shall not forget your kindness," said Edward.
"Go home now and find what it is you are looking for,"
the Oracle boomed. And so they did. And when the ogres arrived home to Oogsville, they found their pumpkins had returned. It was the greatest Thanksgiving they had ever had, for the Oracle had made them a feast like they had never seen, and enough pumpkin pies that they couldn't finish them all. Edward fulfilled his promise to the tree and delivered her a pie. And from then on, the ogres of Oogsville made sure to celebrate one another every day, to be fierce, to be kind, to be family. The end. And now it's time to take a deep breath, close our eyes, so that we may drift off into a world of our own adventure. Good night, children.